It's a privilege to be here and to worship with you this morning. And I've enjoyed the Sunday school lesson already. Looks like you're the empty benches up here don't seem quite right, but I'm glad for the youth that are still sitting up front. I think they're also youth and they're important. And I just think it's good for us to be reminded at times like this that the younger generation is very much a part of our church and our lives, and we do well to involve them to consider them as we ponder our responsibilities to one another. I've entitled my message this morning, Sowing Good Seed. And it speaks about the law of sowing and reaping, and which is both a natural and a spiritual law. And it's neat, I think, how God has designed it, that we can take lessons from the natural life that we exist in. You know, the thing of planting seeds and watching them grow and then harvesting, and how that illustrates very clearly the spiritual laws that are also at work at the same time in our lives. And you know, those laws, a lot of those laws work whether you believe in them or not. Belief in these laws will enhance your ability to receive the benefits it brings, but disbelief will not neutralize the consequences of ignoring them. And so it means that God has set these laws in motion that govern our existence, and they operate whether we believe in them or not. You know, we use the term, what goes around comes around. And I think these are some phrases that already acknowledge that you know, even society around us acknowledges that the way you treat others, that's oftentimes the way you will be treated. It's a law of reaping what you sow. Turnaround is fair play. And I think these are expressions that speak about the law of sowing and reaping. I'd like to read just a few verses from Galatians 6, verses 6 through 9. Says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The New King James says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. He begins verse 7 with, be not deceived. And when Scripture tells you to not, or brings that warning to mind, it's telling you, this warning is given to guard against deception. And the reason is, it means that the truth that he's ready to communicate is one that can easily be misunderstood. And then we may ask, well, what's the reason that God is so concerned that we remember this, that whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap? You know, most of us, in the natural sense, we know that. But it's very easy for us as humans to forget that what we reap is what we're going to sow. Spiritual deception is dangerous because it always leads into bondage. And his goal here is to try to lead us to freedom, to help us to understand life as God really designed it for us to experience. Another way of saying it is, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. This morning we'd like to look at three laws of agriculture, laws that we're familiar with in the area of gardening or planting seeds that parallel the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. I gleaned some of my thoughts from a message that I listened to by Jim Newsom that explained was very thought-provoking, just the way that he communicated it, and so I'll be sharing some of the thoughts, or the outline here comes from a message that he had preached. The first law of agriculture that parallels the spiritual law of sowing and reaping is that the seed determines the fruit. Now, we know that in the physical. When Merle goes out and sows wheat, he expects wheat to come up and he expects to harvest wheat. If he plants it this fall, why, next spring or next summer, he expects to harvest wheat. You know, you cannot plant beans and harvest corn. The seeds we sow determine the fruit that we reap. You can't reap understanding if you're constantly sowing misunderstanding. And I think in the spiritual sense is where it's a lot more difficult sometimes to make the connection between what we're sowing and what we're reaping. And so this morning, I think if you're reaping certain things in life, if the things that you're experiencing in life are unpleasant, then it's maybe it's time to take inventory of our lives and to see what have we been sowing. Because there's a connection. There's always a connection. You cannot reap trust while sowing suspicion. You know, what goes out, what you're sowing is what's going to come back. Evaluate your life. You need to understand that your behavior, your words and actions are the seeds that you sow that determine the crop you will harvest in the next few years. The Lord has established a law that won't allow you to receive something different than what you sow. Obadiah 1:15 says, "For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head." Matthew 7, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So this is more than just a good idea. It's actually, it was Jesus' way of communicating the law of sowing and reaping. If you want respect, then you need to sow respect. You know, how I treat others determines how others will treat me, oftentimes. If you want people to be kind to you, then you need to show kindness to others. In other words, it's more than just a good principle to operate by. I think it's important that we remember that the seeds that we're sowing, that's what we're going to reap. You know, all of our behavior will return. We'd like to think oftentimes that it's not, you know, it's of little consequence. And, you know, maybe if people don't really know what my motives are, then maybe the deeds won't come back. You know, I will be rewarded for the deeds that I do. But I think, you know, God being the one that has set this law in motion is the one that determines what comes back to me. And so God judges us not only by our deeds, but also by our motives. Deception will return. I think deception is something that has the potential to lead us a lot further astray than what we want it to. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13 says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There's sort of a sequence that happens there. As you try to deceive other people, then that's ultimately what happens to you. You end up reaping that which you're sowing. Honesty is an important seed to sow if you don't want to be deceived. In other words, you need to be honest with other people and with yourself, also with God. Do not sow a lie if you do not... In other words, do not sow a lie if you want to guard your life from deception. The lie is to make someone believe something that is wrong as though it is right. And you know, we can't afford to believe things that are wrong as though they are right. So it's important that we don't sow lies. We make a conscious effort to live honestly before other people and to exercise our lives in honest ways. We want to be completely honest. I'd like to read a few verses from Luke chapter 6, verse 31 through 38. And I'm reading it from Weymouth's translation. He says in verse 31, "And behave to your fellow men just as you would have them to behave to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Why, even bad men love those who love them. And if you're kind to those who are kind to you, what credit is it to you? Even bad men act thus. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is it to you? Even bad men lend to their fellows so as to receive back an equal amount. Nevertheless, love your enemies, be beneficent, and lend without hoping for any repayment. Then your recompense shall be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Pardon, and you shall be pardoned. Give, and gifts shall be bestowed on you. Full measure, pressed, shaken down, and running over, shall they pour into your laps. For with the same measure that you use, they shall measure to you in return." God is a God that is a good example to us. In other words, God forgives fully. He forgives freely, instantly, and willingly. He asks us to do the same in our relationships. When we make modifications and refuse to forgive others, as He has forgiven us, then God says, the same measure will be used on you. Remember, Jesus said, if you're not willing to forgive others, then neither will I forgive you. Does that mean God is not a forgiving God? No, it only means that God is rewarding us, or we're only reaping what we sow. The same measure will be used on you. God will get a balanced measure. Either you align your measure with God's, or He will align His with yours. And you know, we can't afford to have Him align His measure with ours. We want to align our measure with His. If we understand this, then it helps us to modify our behavior and to respond to other people the way that God wants us to. The first point that we have is that what you sow determines what you reap. The seed determines the fruit. The second point is that there is always a waiting period between when you sow and when you reap. You boys ever seen your dad or your mom go out and plant seeds in the garden and the next day go out and expect to reap something? No, it doesn't happen. There's always a waiting period. Sometimes it seems like a long period. In fact, sometimes we get weary of the weeds that have to be pulled and the water that has to be dumped on these plants to keep them to grow. But you know, there's that waiting period. And this is often where the deception sets in. You're either deceived into continuing sinful behavior because there are no immediate consequences, or you're deceived into discontinuing righteous behavior because there are no immediate benefits. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. In other words, the sinner wants to continue because there are no immediate consequences for his evil behavior. Jim Newsom tells the story of his life in a couple paragraphs. He related the as it relates to this. He said he was an all-American boy up until he was about 14. He had behaved the way that he was supposed to, and then he in high school he got in with some bad company, and he had some bad tendencies himself, and he started lying, and he started getting into drugs and getting into all kinds of things that were not good. But he didn't make the connection between this bad behavior and reaping, because he was still reaping benefits from the good life that he had lived the first 14 years. His parents trusted him, and when he made up lies to explain some of the bad behavior or some of the things that when he got caught with his mom found drugs in his dresser drawer, he was just taking care of this for his friend, and he didn't really know what was in it. And his mother believed his story, so you know he didn't really suffer any consequences. Well, eventually, he sinned long enough and bad enough that it caught up with him. And mark it down, bad behavior will always catch up with you. Later, oftentimes, rather than sooner, at least it seems like it. And eventually, he ended up murdering somebody and was put in prison. God did a work in his life and he became converted. So what Jim did was he started to sow good seed, but he kept reaping bad seed, or bad harvest. But it was a result of the years that he had been doing bad things. And it took quite a while. In fact, he became weary of doing good because it just seemed like there was no benefits in it. He would travel to he was rejected by his family because of his where he was, you know, being in prison, and his father refused to talk to him. And after he got out of prison, he made efforts to go to visit his parents every year. And it was a painful experience because his father rejected him. And he finally got to the place, well, Lord, I can't do this anymore. But it just seemed like God was working in his heart to continue to do this. And eventually, as he continued to sow good seed, eventually he started harvesting a good harvest. So the moral is, there is a waiting period between when you sow and when you reap. And always remember that. There's a waiting period. But if you're faithful and continue to sow good seed, I promise you, based on God's word, you will reap a bountiful harvest if you're faithful. Somewhere in the process. And see, God determines when that harvest is. It's not up to us to determine that. It's interesting that it's interesting how many different scriptures you read about sowing and reaping. Paul, as he discusses the work of ministering in the church setting, he says that, so-and-so planted and somebody else watered, but it's God that gives the increase. And see, God does it in his own timetable. There's a waiting period if you're faithful. And if you're faithful and continue to sow good seed, somewhere in the process, you will reap a good harvest. Because there is a waiting period, there's also a benefit. Jim says that because of that waiting period, there is a window of opportunity that when you sow bad seed, you can go back and get it. And you can minimize the consequences by repenting and correcting that which you've done that was wrong. Just a personal example that I had in the last several years, I was somewhere that something happened that I didn't appreciate, something that another brother in the church did, and I thought I was right, and I thought he was wrong, and I told him how I feel about it. That I think, you know, he needs to change what his perspective on a certain issue. And I almost felt good at the time when I was doing it, because it seemed like I was right. But later the Lord convicted me, and I had to go back and I had to get some seed back. But you know, that window of opportunity, that's a window of opportunity that's given to us to make things right. When we're aware of that, that oftentimes there is that waiting period when we can go back. When in anger or frustration you sow a bad seed, and you, a day or two later, oftentimes, you know, God speaks to you. Maybe it's not even a day later, and you realize you've not been Christ-like. You come to your senses and you repent, and you have an opportunity to go back and to make that right, to get that seed back. Go apologize and ask for forgiveness, and you can minimize the consequences of that seed that you've sown. The great thing about the law of sowing and reaping is you can sow some bad seed, but you have time to get it back. The third point is that you always reap more than you sow. Can you imagine what it would be like if Christ would go plant 40 acres of wheat, and he would just expect to get, you know, I don't know, how much seed do you plant on 40 acres or per acre, Chris? A bushel and a half per acre. And so if he'd plan on using 60 bushels of wheat to plant that, and he'd be happy to get 60 bushels back. Would that make sense? What would be the point in sowing seed if you don't get more back than what you've planted? And in the spiritual sense, I think we often forget that we get back much more than what we sow. You know, it's good. It's a good thing to get back more than you sow if you're sowing good seed. But if you sow bad seed, then it's not good. And you reap a whole crop. If you're sowing good seed and you're faithful, eventually unexpected good keeps showing up, comes from everywhere. And that is, in fact, why we sow seed. We expect to reap more than we put into the ground in the first place. So I'd encourage you to sow generously. Be aware that God will reward in His own time. And be faithful. Do what God asks you to do. There's three reasons why people why people find it hard to sow good seed. See, the bad seed, we don't have to work hard to sow the bad seed. That sort of comes natural to us. And even as Christians, even as believers, we have a tendency to be selfish and to look out for ourselves and just to sow seeds that don't really produce the harvest that we want. It takes effort to serve the Lord and to do what's right. But the rewards are always far superior, in the same way that sowing good seed in the natural sense is a lot more beneficial economically than going out and sowing bad seed, it's the very same is true in the spiritual sense. Three reasons that people find it hard to sow good seed, and the first is lack of instant results, and we've already looked at that. James 5, verse 7 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain." Patience in this thing of waiting until God rewards you is a virtue, and it's something you should cultivate. Another reason that people find it hard to sow good seed is lack of seed. People don't think that they have anything good to sow. But this morning I'd like to tell you that everybody has some good seed to sow. All of us are able to do something that makes a difference in other people's lives. Paul says in Corinthians, it's interesting how that he says, "Now he who supplies," speaking of God, "he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." What the blessings that God gives to you are twofold. Part of what God gives you, well, let's first of all remember that everything comes to us from God. It's given to us from God. Do we agree on that? Everything comes from God. And a portion of what God gives us is seed that God wants us to sow into someone else's life. And a portion of it is for bread for us to consume for ourselves. God wants us to be aware of the needs of others and not just consume it on ourselves. A lot of Christians see the blessings of God as all bread. You know, we focus on our own needs and we're very much aware of them. And then God blesses us and we say, "Thank you, Lord," and we just consume it. Forgetting that a portion of what God gives us is to be sowed. See, the part that you consume and eat for yourself, that doesn't really multiply. It's when you sow it in the life of someone else that it has the potential to multiply and to grow and to bring forth a bountiful harvest. The seed is multiplied when you sow it in someone else's life. He says that he will multiply your seed sown. It's just like the farmer that has a bushel of wheat. He can store it and he can take care of it and do whatever he wants to, but as long as he doesn't sow it, it doesn't multiply. It just stays the same. If you're discouraged and God sends someone to encourage you, part of that encouragement is for you to consume for your own needs. But part of it is for you to find someone else that is discouraged and bless them. And when you do that, God says two things happen. Your seed is increased, the blessing is perpetuated. And secondly, the harvest of your righteousness is enlarged. So on both counts, we benefit. And I preached this message at Cedar Crest just a couple of weeks before our new Sunday school year began, and people were being assigned new jobs, and I think a willingness to serve in the brotherhood, when you're willing to consider this as, you know, the call to serve in a certain position and take that seriously as from God and be willing to apply yourself and don't just look at it as a as a task that you have to do, but as a privilege and an opportunity for you to bless others. And maybe you think you're not cut out for the job that you were asked to do, but in spite of that, give it your best and do what you can to invest in the lives of other people. And when multiple people are willing to do that, then much blessing is received from many different directions. The third reason that people find it hard to sow good seed is a lack of favorable conditions. Solomon says that if you always wait for the wind and the weather to be perfect, you won't plant or harvest. In other words, you can always find an excuse not to plant seed. See, it takes work to plant good seed because the farmer, he has to till the soil and work it up and spread fertilizer and then he has to plant the seed. And he does it. I've seen him do it in some weather that wasn't always nice. In Kansas here, sometimes it's windy, and if your tractor that you're using doesn't have a cab on it, well, that's not conducive to a good environment to sowing seed. But you know, if we consider that now is the time to sow seed, then we'll be much better off. Some people feel, I'll wait till I have a better job, till I make more money, till I have my debts all paid off, and then I'll tithe or I'll give some money to the Lord. But you know, you need to start where you are. Start now. There is no better time than now. Generosity begets generosity. Remember that when God measures generosity, He never measures it by the size of the gift. He always measures it by the size of the sacrifice. The verse in 2 Corinthians 9:6 said, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." I think we all want to reap bountifully, don't we? So let's remember the connection between sowing and reaping. If we want to reap bountifully, what do we need to do? We need to sow bountifully. So this morning, my encouragement to you is to sow good seed, and lots of it. And I know you are. I think God knows what you're doing. And this message is not to imply that you've all been sowing bad seed. It's an encouragement to be faithful, to continue doing what God calls you to do, and look for other ways that God is calling you to be faithful. You know, God will be faithful in giving the increase if we're faithful in sowing good seed. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that you've established laws that we can depend on, laws that are for our good. And I just pray this morning that as we ponder the law of sowing and reaping, help us to remember that you've established these laws for our benefit and to help us, to remind us of our responsibility to you, and that you have created us and you do know what's best for us. Lord, we just desire to walk in your ways, and we desire to learn the lessons you want to teach us through life. Help us, especially as believers, to not become weary in well-doing, even though we may not reap immediately the benefits that we'd like to see. Just pray that you would help us to be faithful and to cultivate that attitude of wanting to serve you with our whole heart. Just pray also, Lord, that if there are those that may be sowing bad seed, I just pray that you would remind us of the consequences that come with that. And that even though we don't reap those consequences immediately, that they will still be sure, and that you will, whatever your word says, that that will take place. I just pray that you would help us to respond to you and open our hearts and to realize that you do love us and you do want us to faithfully follow you, and that it is for our good. Bless this congregation as they continue to serve you, and bless their youth as they've gathered also, and may each one find their place in your kingdom and faithfully serve you. We just thank you for all that you've provided through Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Where doubts arise and fears dismay.